Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Final hour here, Patriots Monday. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. It's been an eventful show so far. We've had a lot of scorching hot takes, a lot of calls. We talked to Jonathan Jones. We talked to Jacoby Brissett. We will continue to parse through the things that they had to say. What you just heard, though, is something that was played or aired earlier today on the midday show with Jones and Keefe, and that was Devon Godshaw. And that, we both heard that, I think, on the way in here. I'm sorry, am I boring you, Andy?
I don't know. I just got a big yawn.
Man. God, the sun doesn't yawn.
This was a Fitzy-like lead into this segment, so I lost interest.
I guess so.
Oh, shot of Fitzy.
What do you want from me? I'm trying to talk about something that I thought was very interesting that we heard today from Devon Godshaw. You flagged this, too.
Immediately I went, whoa.
On the way in.
What did he say?
Devon Godshaw says there are guys being selfish on that defense. And we asked Jonathan Jones about it. He said guys are trying to make plays. Guys are trying to, you know, give that extra effort. Godshaw framed it as a much more negative type of thing, as in, you know, guys are freelancing. Guys aren't listening to the coaching. Guys are just sort of going off doing whatever they want to try and get that big sports center play in a selfish kind of way. And I hear that. We also heard, I mean, last week, 2 weeks ago, the Pop Douglas situation, there's some, I don't want to say fractures, but definitely a lot more lip than you used to get back in the Belichick days.
Yes.
A lot more back sass, I guess, than you used to.
Now, it comes with losing.
Yep.
And they're losing and they're playing poorly and, you know, borderline embarrassing losses a couple. Obviously, the culture has been, you know, the preacher's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some freedom here to do and say what you want. So those are different layers to this. Now, did you immediately start going, who's he talking about?
Yes, I did start thinking about that, and I thought the only guys it really could be are Uche, Keon White, Dietrich Wise, maybe a Quale, although I don't remember seeing much of him in that game, but like other guys on the defensive line. That's who I figured he was talking about.
First guys
up front.
Keon White was the first guy I thought of because he's a guy that everybody was anointing and praising as a breakout guy.
Right.
He had the stats very quickly, 2.5 sacks in Cincinnati, you know, another sack and a half, boom. Oh, my God, he's on pace for 30 sacks and whatever. And then all of a sudden, containing the quarterback became an issue.
Right.
And containing the quarterback became a teaching point, talking point this week that we're not going to let him get out. Brock Purdy got out, and at least two of them early, from what I saw, involved Keon White getting caught inside, rushing inside, not keeping the quarterback inside. Because I also do believe Brock Purdy's the kind of guy, I know you don't think much of him, but he's...
I think a little more of him today.
You take the edge and you give him that straight line to, like, the first down and the sideline, he's taking it. I think he's going to think twice if you have the edge set and there's a hole in the middle and do I want to run up the middle and take a hit? And I think there's two different types of runs there, and I thought Keon White was involved with that. I also thought about the Mason touchdown I talked about earlier.
Overrunning that one, yep.
Getting way upfield, trying to make a crazy play. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to have a tackle for a loss. And this flies in the face of, and Godshaw is a Belichick guy, or at least he should be.
Yeah.
Because if Bill Belichick, fluffed me up the way he fluffed up Godshaw years ago, I would be, you know, a Belichick ride or die kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Belichick way was do your job, right? Don't try to do anyone else's.
Right.
Don't try to get upfield. We can't get six sacks on one play. Do your job. And I think you can argue there are guys that aren't necessarily doing their job, and it's costing the defense and all of that. So it's not good.
No.
I'll tell you that. These conversations aren't good to be having a quarter. Jacoby was very optimistic. You're only a quarter of the way through the season. But I would say, yeah, but you're only a quarter of the way through the season, and Pop Douglas is bitching, and Godshaw's calling out the defense, and like, what are we going to have in week, I don't know, 13 when you might have a 2-11 record.
Well, according to Rob Gronkowski, that's when Drake May can play, so that's all
right. Well, that's true.
Yeah, so
kick Brissett to the curb and go with the young guy.
Good news there.
So, this definitely piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
I was like, did he say selfish? Mm. Like, because it was a pretty clear phone. He's got a better phone than Jonathan
much
Jones,
better
so
than
I could
Jonathan
actually
Jones,
hear
yes.
what he was saying on the phone with Jones and Keith. Actually, let's call them the midday program.
Yeah.
From now on, we're calling all other shows by their time part.
I think they call
Till we're called
we
by
are.
Name, we are not calling anyone else by name. Do
true.
Unto others as they do unto you.
The only thing is that those other shows actually have names. We don't. So.
We kind of do.
We kind of do.
I've heard plenty of promos that say, listen to Jacoby Brissett with Arkand and Hart.
I've heard that too.
I don't pick the order. I don't care
good.
For it.
Order's,
I think it's kind of lame.
Order's the only good part, I'd say.
I actually don't. Hart and Arkand. Arkand and Hart. It sounds better, Arkand and Hart.
It does.
I'll admit to it. Yeah. But I've heard those promos, and yet, no love. Nobody calls us back. Anyway, I'm being selfish, just like a Patriots defender. I want more attention. I want our show to get more attention. But is this a legitimate problem, or is this a blip? Because Pop Douglas, was that a blip?
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
I think that you're going to see wide receivers get more frustrated. Like, who's going to be feeling good in the wide receiver room about this last game against San Francisco? Nobody. Not one person is going to be feeling good. Not one of the wide receivers.
Well,
why would they feel good about it?
Polk
they barely got targeted.
He caught the ball, so he might feel
that's
good
true.
About
that. That's true, and he got some targets, and fine. And maybe, you know, Douglas, after that Jets game, feels like, all right, I'm more involved in the offense. But you can't just do one wide receiver per week and expect that that's going to make everybody happy. It's obviously not. This is the NIL era we're living in, and guys aren't even getting looked at, let alone getting targets. So it's like, that to me, I think, is going to be continue to be a problem. Guys aren't just going to be like, well, I guess we just suck, and this year's just going to be a throwaway year for me, and I'm not going to care about it anymore. These are careers on the line. These are stats that could end up being parts of bonuses or, you know, things like that. I think that all still very much matters to a lot of these players, especially since they all know they're not playing for the playoffs this year. What else are they playing for?
Well, they could still make the playoffs.
They're not going to. I mean,
I don't think they're going to. I'm just telling you, they could make the playoffs.
We get into like week 11, week 12, they're eliminated from playoff contention. And let's be honest here, they probably will be. What else are they going to be playing for?
So, true. But let's forget about that and just go right now. A, is Gerard Mayo prepared, capable of handling this? Does he have anything to handle? Does he talk to Devon Godshaw? Does he talk to other people? Does he agree?
I talked to Godshaw.
Does he agree with Godshaw?
He probably does. You know, he probably does, but those are the types of criticisms that he should be levying, you know? If the head coach wants to come out and rip his players, fine. Once you start ripping your teammates are ripping each other, that's a different thing.
Because that was a Belichickian rule.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it was written, unwritten.
I think that's a good rule, period.
Don't talk about other players.
Right.
Worry about yourself. Talk about yourself, maybe your unit to some degree, but don't start talking about other players. And Devon Godshaw was quite... Who made a bigger error? So let's just say it's two errors. One guy was trying to make plays,
mm-hmm.
being a little selfish. One guy went on the radio and talked about it. Which do you like less as a head coach?
Probably the stuff on the field, I would
really?
Think. Yeah.
See, I think that's correct.
Because that leads to directly losses
yeah,
and everything
else.
But
this guy's airing, you know, dirty laundry.
I don't think that matters as much as Gerard Mayo, if that's a question. I don't think he cares as much about that stuff. I don't know.
So you don't think it's a big deal?
I do think it's a big deal. I think ripping your teammates is a big deal, but... I don't know. The question was, is that worse than making a bad play on the field? I'd say no.
Because the bad play on the field, because even Devon Godshaw said it, it's guys trying to do too much, trying to make big plays. And whatever their motivation is, that's mm-hmm. a secondary layer to this. Like, you might be trying to make a big play just because you feel like we're getting
right.
killed. Like, somebody needs to make a big play.
Do something.
We need a strip sack.
Exactly.
If we don't get a strip sack, this game's over.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean you were trying to pad your stats or, like, get all pro honors, or it's not the NBA where if I make all NBA, I'm going to get $350 million. Yeah,
too many of the 2024-25 Patriots have to worry about
all
that.
All NFL?
Sure.
Not a lot of all pros. Yeah, I enjoyed it as a listener, as mm-hmm. I think our listeners probably did, but you know what those things tend to get? Old.
Yeah.
We're not used to them. Like, we weren't used to Gerard Mayo, and we were like, wow, this is refreshing. And then 3 weeks later, we're like, this guy needs to shut up and be more like Belichick, right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do because it's new and it's different and it's entertaining and we've never dealt with this. And then we realize, oh, this is terrible if you're a competitive football team. You shouldn't have players calling out other players on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, especially a leader. Devon Godshaw, year 9, 10, whatever it is.
Something like that, yeah.
Keon White, year 2. Isn't this a simple opportunity to,
take him
under
your wing and
slide down three spots on the bus and go, hey, Keon, I just... you know, how'd you feel about your game? Like, start a conversation and then say, I don't know, listen, maybe you were trying to do too much.
Airing it out like that makes it seem like it's a big problem behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's how it comes off.
Yeah, a little
like
too
they
honest.
They were yelling about, you know, like the yeah. meetings was all about it, like that sort of thing. So, yeah, we'll see.
Because it was a point of emphasis, if we're
yeah.
assuming right.
No, you're right, it was.
And we are assuming here, so we could be asses in the end, and we will be. We'll be asses in the end, I promise.
That's a guarantee.
But
that's an afternoon show guarantee.
Yes, even in the bitching hour here on a Monday, that... This was the point of emphasis for their defense. Keep the quarterback in. Set the edge in terms of the pass rush. And then you had guys kind of going off script and not doing it.
Nope, you did. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got one phone line open for you right now, so if you want to jump on and grab it, go ahead. Let's talk to John, who is in the car, who has a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's not really a thought on... Yeah, I guess it is a thought on Drake May. I understand we get the new shiny toy, and everybody wants to see the toy. The toy in the field, mm-hmm. but if Gronkowski's right and that the offensive line is still going to be a sieve, and this kid's just going to throw picks, loses confidence. My question is, if that happens, if he looks like Zach Wilson II, how long do you ride with that? And then what do? Do you take him out, put Jacoby back in? What's the plan? Because that's ultimately which is probably going to happen. And what do?
So, John, I'm going to do what you do in radio. You answer a question with a question.
Yes, thanks for the call, buddy.
What if Drake May goes out and, I don't know, throws 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and you don't even win, but you're more competitive. Your points per game go
10 touchdowns 13. And you don't win? That'd be something.
I'm not sold on the defense.
Defense would have a really bad game. If
I meant over a couple games. I meant over a little span here. Your points per game
pretty
go
sure
up.
That'd be a record.
Maybe the energy around the team goes up. Maybe there's less finger pointing. Maybe he brings a certain air to the offense. How come no one ever asks that question? Like, it's
I've
always
been screaming this for the whole season.
Negative.
Yeah.
And you're right. And the reality is, and Zach Wilson, so we're going to do that. We're going to pick Zach Wilson.
If Zach Wilson had the perfect coming out party, yeah, every single thing, a bad team
still
at
suck.
Home and whatever, he would still be
you
the
know
same
why?
Crappy quarterback he is now.
A, everybody cares about experience.
Right.
Drake May was a 2-year starter. Zach Wilson barely won the job his senior year.
Right.
Then he played in a COVID year against crap competition and lit it up by doing crazy NFL Europe crap, throwing across the field on the run. Oh, my God, look at these throws.
He was nasty in college. I mean, you got to give him that.
At a lower level in
BYU,
a weird season, all these, like, parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May was a 2-year starting quarterback who was projected as a top 10 pick for 2 years, who had a better year the previous year than the second year.
Yep.
He's far more talented. Like, the comparisons are not there. He's not Mitchell Trubisky. He is not Zach Wilson. He is a more talented, more prepared quarterback. I'd also say I have seen no dink in him. Dink. D-I-N-K.
Got it. Yeah, okay.
I've seen no dink in him.
I thought you were making a dink and dunk reference, but you're talking about like being a dink, a personality
right.
dink. Right, right, right.
Have you seen any dink
like a
concerns?
Dorito dink.
You know who seems like a dink?
Who?
Zach Wilson.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson makes bad decisions with his mom.
Although
friends,
he seems to have chilled out
field.
A lot in Denver. He seems like he's a lot.
I think he's resigned to the fact that he's a Jag.
Could be.
And he's like, I'd better just kind of be a normal dude and try to hang around this league for a couple of years and collect a paycheck.
I think with him, it always, like, he looked like one. I don't know if he actually was one,
no,
but
he was.
He looked like one.
Oh, come on, he was.
I don't know. I don't remember him saying anything.
Yeah,
I remember
did.
The stuff
no, there was
the,
a press
the
conference
or whatever. There was a bad press
there
conference.
There was a press conference where he said something incredibly stupid.
Dinky.
Like, it wasn't his fault or his problem or, like, he kind of threw, I think, his line under the bus. There was a really bad press conference early in his career that was, Drake May will not do.
Got
I
it.
Promise you. He may stink. He may not be as good as I want him to be or hope he will not be the kind of dink Zach Wilson is.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will continue with your phone calls. Here's Stiz with what's trending. And when we come back, why didn't Drake May play in garbage time? There was garbage time last night. Why didn't we see him? We'll explore that with your phone calls right after this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That was Jacoby Brissett in the post game addressing the pick six to Fred Warner, which really blew up the whole idea of, well, you got to keep Brissett out there because he's not making mistakes. He's not turning the ball over. He had two turnovers in that game. I'd say it was his worst game so far, would you?
I'd say it was great.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, he's a nice man.
So what, you can't be honest about the team anymore?
Okay, well, it was not a great game.
Was it his worst game?
It was probably his worst game.
I think it was. And listen, I mean, that's not to disrespect him. I don't think it's disrespectful to say that. You have to have a best game. You have to have a worst game. He's played four games. I think that was the worst. And I don't know that the best one was really all that good either.
Did I give him an out by acknowledging the impressive play by Fred Warner?
No, it was. I mean,
Brian says yeah. I mean,
a little
impressive.
Bit.
Like, he went up for a middle linebacker.
I thought the return was more impressive than the actual pick.
Oh, I thought the catch was pretty sweet. Yeah. I'm not sure we have a lot of offensive players that make that catch.
Never mind freaking middle linebackers. True, yeah, you might be
How
right
many guys
about
that. You seen go up and get? They had the best catchers. Their tight end
yep.
went up and got the ball. Their middle linebacker went up and got the ball. Their wide receiver went up and got. We don't have people on either side of the team that do that.
No, and we definitely don't have anyone who's going to wrestle it away from three defenders
right.
like George Kittle did, which, by the way, I was going into this thinking that, you know, Deebo Samuel banged up, George Kittle banged up. These guys are going to be decoys out there. They're going to be out there running routes, but they're banged up and they're not going to be 100% and they're not going to go to them. They're not going to lean on them. Those guys ate your lunch yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, these are their best players, obviously, but they're ones that you have to keep better track of. And that pass, the pass to Kittle hung up in the air for like 20 seconds.
George Kittle! Oh, so many bodies! He ripped it!
That thing was floating up there, and everybody was running towards it, and Kittle high points it. Three guys are on him, and he just yanks it away. I mean, you know, like, these are the type of plays good teams and great players make.
Right.
And they made them on you all day long.
And you had a couple tries. Like, Jabril Peppers' interception was a really nice play.
That was a nice play,
He went up and got it elevated, landed hard on his back. The Polk non-catch catch was a nice catch, but that's where we are. We're sort of like the Bad News Bears. We're talking about foul balls. We did
right.
hit seven foul balls, Coach. We did catch one out of bounds, Coach. But that to me shows you that great divide. And this isn't – we're not breaking news here, Captain Obvious. The 49ers have more talent than the Patriots. The 49ers are one of the more talented. But that NBA draft thing we talk about, because Jennings – I don't really know a lot about Jennings. I know he had 175 yards and three touchdowns the week before.
I don't know much about him either.
And then I saw him and I was like, oh, I kind of see why. That's a great catch right there. Like, he's got talent. I would add them to the group of teams. You don't have a receiver that would break the top three.
Yeah.
I don't believe you have a receiver that's better than Jennings, Deebo, or Ayuk.
Juwan Jennings was a seventh-round pick, by the way.
Yeah, so was Julian Edelman, Tom Brady. You can get late-round gems.
So was Kayshawn Booty, right? No, he was sixth-round.
Yeah.
Yeah, still.
No, my point was you can
this
get...
This guy actually does
Yeah, you can get gems, not you can get jags. Gems over jags. I'm looking for gems
plays.
Late, not jags late. But they just... The Kittle thing... Because I was a huge Gronk fan, and I think Gronk still gets sort of underrated. People like you that rave about all these soft wide receiver type tight ends.
I have him two in all time behind Tony Gonzalez, so I think he's pretty good. But
George Kittle is in the Gronk mold because he will block. He will give you energy in everything he does. He's going to try to run people over, out-jump people. And that really...
And he'll probably retire in his early 30s because he took such a beating, too.
And he's banged up a lot now, a lot more in the last couple of years. But it made me think when you said earlier about what areas do they have talent that isn't in the bottom five. And I think tight end, you might argue that with Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper.
I'd say that's it. Yeah, that's probably it.
It's not exciting. You don't have a Kittle.
No.
You don't have a guy that can just go out there and physically. Hunter Henry's a nice player.
I'd say he's top third of tight ends. Maybe even a little higher. Maybe top quarter.
Maybe.
Tight ends this year aren't playing well. Kelsey's not good. Andrews isn't good. Like, the normal...
Yeah, but I'd still take them.
I would, too. I'm just saying they're not playing well. Hunter Henry at least has, like, a 100-yard game under his belt.
The
I don't think the
of
two of those
career.
Guys together have 100 yards on the season so
it's
far.
It's the first of his career. It's not like you're...
Sure. But, you know, he's been one of the more reliable guys, and I don't think he's played all that
but
well.
But you don't
either.
Have...
He's
I guess
one game.
My point is you don't have
tight
playmakers.
Tight ends in general haven't been that good.
You don't have playmakers for Warner. You don't have playmaker for Bosa. And, you know, they were without, what's his name, your safety. He was Ufanga.
Ufanga, yeah.
He's out. Mm-hmm. They're without the other linebacker, Dre
Greenlaw.
Yep. Like, they had a lot of significant, Hargrove up front. They have a lot. And then their backups come in, and you're like, damn, that guy would be the best player on our team. Like, yeah. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, and they've constructed their team completely differently from you. I mean, really, like, the San Francisco 49ers are the anti-Patriots in a lot of ways. In the sense of, they really built an offense, they really built a defense through the draft and through free agency, through trades. They even had a couple of big whiffs. Trey Lance was about as big of a whiff
yes.
as you can possibly have, and they survived it because of their team building, because of their drafts, because of all this stuff. I mean, a lot of the guys you mentioned are all draft picks, guys that they picked, and were able to keep for a little bit. I mean, now it's starting to come back to bite them, but they did have these guys on rookie contracts for years and years and years. They have Brock Purdy getting paid nothing as their quarterback, who's one of the best QBs per the dollar, I'd say, in the last 10 years in terms of what they're getting for what sure. they're paying him. But that's sort of the point, is like, they've built something, and it may all fall apart, and they may not come away with any Super Bowls, but they built something that's going to be competitive every year, something that's been competitive with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback, now with Brock Purdy and whoever else. I mean, really, everybody other than Trey Lance has been okay in this system, and that's something that is basically the opposite of the Patriots. No quarterbacks are succeeding with these Patriots, and we'll see if one eventually does, but, I mean, you want to talk about, like, the bizarro you, it's the San Francisco 49ers.
And it starts where? Draft.
Yeah.
They've drafted pretty well. Deebo, draft pick. Ayuk, draft pick. Bosa, draft pick. Now, some of them are up high, but that's an opportunity you're getting now. You're going to have high draft picks. You had a high draft pick last
year. You could
add Deebo. Right. There's plenty of those guys, because it's not all just high draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
There's other mid-round draft picks and lower picks. But that roster, I mean, I keep always saying it's Eagles and 49ers are kind of, and I know the Eagles are not playing well right now, aren't a great football team, but those are, you either have to have a top five quarterback or a top five roster. They don't have the top five quarterbacks, so both those teams get a top five roster.
Yeah, agreed. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Jesse is in New Bedford with a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, like a couple of callers before, you know, Andy, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. You know, what if this? What if that? Well, what if it's the other way? And, you know, last time I checked, everybody keeps blowing over the fact that Brissett threw that pick six and he fumbled. But also in the first game, he threw a goal line interception in front of Henry. Doesn't do his best Gonzo impression. That's a goal line pick. All I'm saying is, Drake May, look what the rookie quarterbacks are doing. Each game they're getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. Let Drake May get his lumps his rookie year. What are you going to do? If you're going to wait for this line and for this team to get better, you might as well cancel the whole rookie year or the 4 years of Drake May, because it's going to take a couple years. Get him in there. I'm with you guys. Start the kid. I'm starting a riot.
All right, thanks for the call. Don't start
Did
a
say
riot.
He's starting a riot?
Thank you, let's go. A riot.
Hey, whoa. New Bedford's too close to where I live. Let's keep your riots away from in my area.
Come on, New Bedford. It's been through enough.
Jeez,
you don't need to be starting
go.
Any riots down there. Also, I'm not sure that would necessarily get the attention up here in Foxborough.
No, I don't think it would.
Not saying start a riot in Foxborough either, okay? We don't need to start any riots anywhere.
We don't need riots anywhere.
Just
let's
don't
stop
riot,
with
period.
The riots. Just play Drake May.
It's
we don't need riots.
It's a bad football season. We don't need to riot for this.
Yeah, it's sports entertainment. Just bitch about it on the radio show in the bitching hour.
And now, it's not necessarily a riot, but what if we have, like, Drake May protesters showing up? You know, with signs?
You gonna do it?
I'm not doing it. I'm just saying, you might see it.
And out in front of Gillette?
People chaining themselves to the entrance until Drake May, so no one can get in.
Like when
until Drake May gets put in the game.
Last time I saw protesters was when they let Adam Vinatieri leave to go to the Colts.
Yeah,
there were legit protesters.
I could see
there.
That. I could see that. Honestly, how about this for a bet? Rhamondre Stevenson doesn't fumble again for the rest of the season, or Drake May protesters show up at Foxborough.
I don't see Drake May protesters.
I don't think
there's enough passion
for Drake May,
for the Patriots and Drake May right now.
I think anybody who's still passionate about the Patriots is passionate about Drake May playing. I think that that's becoming a thing.
Yeah, but passionate enough to go outside with signs and pick it, and nah, I don't see it.
Maybe not like seriously pick it, but like there's a lot of content creators out there, Andy. You know, there's a lot of young kids going on TikTok and, you know, showing their thing. Here's me protesting at the Patriots.
I'm going to burn my jersey.
Yes.
And then I'm going to pick it. Yeah, I know.
You don't think that's very possible? I think it's very possible, especially in this day and age.
Elsewhere.
Let's go to Joey in New York. Go ahead, Joey.
Joey!
All right, guys. Yeah, you know something? You guys could fill up MetLife Stadium with Super Bowl trophies. And
Okay.
I got a great hello for everybody. A good friend of mine, Joe Beningo, says hello to everybody up in New England. Listen, we got the Jets down here. And you know what I really feel? If you're building a team, like the Patriots are building, the Jets are always rebuilding, and if you don't follow the Jets, they're horrible. But the thing is, I would do is build the offensive line first. Figure it this way. What's the last position in sports where you actually need a brain to play? Is the offensive line. The quarterback can get the plays from the sidelines. You could have a super intelligent guy, offensive guard or tackle, and build that up first, because you can get a quarterback through the draft or you could sign a quarterback. You know, with all these guys, they're all glamour quarterbacks coming out now with big names, and a lot of them turn out to be flops. And
sometimes.
Also the tight end, you brought up Kittle. Now, the thing is, also, I added the tight end as like an offensive lineman. So you guys had Gronk up there, you were spoiled, because Gronk, to me, was like an offensive lineman playing tight end. He would flatten guys,
yep.
Flatten linebackers. You know, the guy was a beast. He was a full beast. And I don't want anybody to get mad, but when they signed Brady, the Bucks, I said all they need now is a six-pack and Gronk, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's exactly what happened, you know?
Hey,
and
Joey, right, you called it then.
What?
You called it. Very good. Thanks for the call,
Joe.
That guy sounded like Joe Beningo.
Yeah, that was...
He sounded like he was actually... He's like, yeah, it was like Joe Beningo in the white. It's like, you sound like Joe
Beningo. Everyone back here is saying the same thing.
That was Joe Beningo, wasn't it?
Yeah, we think it might have been.
Did Joe Beningo just call our show? That's cool. Hey, Joe, call back anytime. It was a good call.
I'll take it.
It was a little all over the place, but it was a good call. And anyway, I always like a good Brooklyn accent here on the airwaves. 617-779-7937. Let's go to a different Joe. Joe in the car. Go ahead, Joe.
How you doing, gentlemen? You know,
good.
I'm finding myself yesterday. I'm rooting against the Patriots from here forward, man.
Okay.
That what I saw yesterday. I mean, San Fran comes down, scores a touchdown. No, penalty. No, we're going to take that away. Same drive, touchdown again. Oh, we're going to take that another penalty. I've never seen that happen. Two penalties taken away, two touchdowns taken away from a penalty. And then they finally score again against this defense. I want to know all the flip-floppers after week one. And Jones, I think you were one of them after they beat Cincinnati. They were the close call against Seattle. You were kind of like, you know, I think they're going to win 6, 7, 8 games. Buddy, these last two games that we saw
Jones.
With the Patriots, that's who the Patriots are, people. We got nobody. And I'm tired about this Drake May. Put him in. You know what? Put the kid in, because I don't care if Tom Brady's behind there. This team is so bad all the way around. Defense. Anybody said, the formula is the defense and running the ball. Well, guess what? Your best offensive player can't hold on to the ball.
It's true.
Stevenson. And your defense is shattered. I mean, this team is the laughing stock of the NFL, and I'm so embarrassed. This team was a dynasty for 20 years. We are so respected. I got friends of mine laughing at me now, like, and they're right.
Joe, don't listen to your friends. Don't worry about it, Joe. It's okay. Yes,
this is all Bob Kraft. If Bob Kraft is listening, Bob Kraft, this is all your fault, buddy. You don't want to spend the money, you cheapo.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for the call, Joe.
That was probably a good time to
I think that was a good time to hang up there.
Yep.
The Patriots are not the laughing stock of the league. That'd be the Jacksonville Jaguars, who lost again and may never win again. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is ever going to win again, but they covered. And that was nice. But, yeah, the Jaguars 0-4 are really, I think, the laughing stock of the league. But you know what? You're getting there. You're getting there.
Let's put a pin in that, circle back around tomorrow. Let's put a list together of teams you are less a mess than or whatever, you're better off than. Because I think the list might be longer than people realize of teams that are worse off than you.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I'm just being optimistic Andy here, because you have your warts, you have your problems. I'm not saying all is good, and I'm not just whistling past the elephant in the graveyard. I am not doing that. I am just saying there are some bad organizations and situations out there right now.
There are, and I think maybe some people deluded themselves into thinking the Patriots were a quarterback away from
contending
again. Me, Jones.
You, Jones,
yes.
thought
Jones
they were going to win 7 or 8 games after they won in week one.
That is not true, by the way.
I think it is. I'm actually with Joe.
I've never said
I
that.
I think I'm with Joe. Can we get the tapes from somebody? Because I'm pretty sure after week one, I said 1-16 is still in play. So I was consistent.
Okay. You also said 0-17 wasn't. You were wrong.
No, it was in play. I'm telling you, that was
we
in play.
We were all riding that week one high. Come on. Don't get
carried
away. I wasn't.
I said
away.
1-16 was in play.
Fine. But you
and by the way,
being
three
in play,
later,
everything's in play.
1-16, still in play.
Still in play. That's true. 8 wins, still also in play, technically. 617.
Is it,
779-7937. Let's take Steve in Plymouth before we go to break. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I'm about to puke because I just looked up the numbers. And just to reiterate the last caller, the Redskins, similar situation as us during the offseason. They went out and they spent $40 million on offensive linemen, Andrew Wiley and Nick Gates. $40 million. We had Mayo on this network this morning saying that they signed the best offensive lineman available, David Andrews. They gave him $4 million in guaranteed money. This is all crap. He's cheap. They got $40 million in available cap space, and they roll this out? This is junk. And people still spend money on these tickets. They're the joke. They're the joke here. The people are actually spending money on this junk.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is not a team right now that is very entertaining.
He's angry.
A lot of people are angry. I mean, listen, if you're a Patriots fan and you were expecting anything, you know, anything above board, you've got two straight non-competitive games. That Seattle game, you can at least say, came down to a couple of misplays here and there. These last two have been non-competitive, and that is sort of what turned a lot of people off last year. And that's why I think, like, watching a game like that is so reminiscent of just how futile everything seemed last year. No matter what they did, you know, you get the ball, and you had no expectation that anything was going to go right with that offense, that Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi or anybody was going to be able to orchestrate anything. And in some games, they couldn't orchestrate even a field goal drive. Like, you know, like it was that kind of despair that I think people were looking at this new regime to say, all right, you're going to pull us out of this. And instead, half of the games have been a lot more like what we saw last year than any kind of improvement. Or, you know, when you think of a rebuild, you look, all right, well, what's getting better? What's improving so far? So far, not really anything.
The kicker.
Sorry,
better.
The kicker.
And the punter continues to get better. He's trending toward all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber punter.
Sweet.
They're players, too.
They are, yes.
Did want to clarify when
Gerard... The only players who use their feet in football.
Yeah, I guess, technically.
Yeah, technically.
When Gerard Mayo said they signed the best offensive lineman in football, he wasn't talking about David Andrews. He was talking about Mike
Onwenu, yeah.
And they gave him $55 million, I believe?
Yes, which is a lot for a guard,
so
but not a lot
for... So it's $15 million more than your precious Commanders gave whoever the hell you were talking about.
Right, but that's also a lot for a guard, not necessarily for
a
tackle.
A right tackle.
Right, but that's not a huge contract for a right tackle.
No.
Either way, you know, I agree. And they didn't add anything. Like, they added
Jonah Williams. I'm
going to
say the name
Jonah
over
Williams.
Again. I don't know why they didn't give Jonah Williams the contract he got from the Cardinals. And no one can give me an answer. I've even sniffed around here a little bit, and everybody's like, yeah, I'm not really sure. Nobody can answer.
They weren't really doing that. It wasn't that kind of offseason. They didn't want to bring in guys they didn't
what,
know.
But they weren't filling out a depth chart?
No.
Because they didn't.
Honestly, no.
Left tackle is empty. They're playing with 10 players. They fill in another guy, but they don't have a left tackle. That's problematic because you don't even get to the point where you can find out if anybody's competitive, competent, because there's people out there who can't play left tackle.
Yeah, it's true, and they're trying their best, and it's not working. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we got some odds and ends for the end of the show. Well, we'll close out this Patriots Monday with some saucy Bruins news. They had their introductory press conference. We opened the show with the Red Sox and their exit interview, which we'll probably dive more into tomorrow. There was some meat on that bone and a couple of questions that definitely bothered Sam Kennedy, so we'll get to that tomorrow. But this, we felt like, for odds and ends here at the end of the show, which, by the way, is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. So that was Cam Neely. Bunch of questions right away, all about Jeremy Swayman.
You think?
And what does he do? He gives you a number. I've been waiting for someone to come out with a number, right?
Yes.
We heard Whitney with his numbers. We haven't heard Swayman talk any numbers, and we definitely haven't heard the Bruins say any numbers.
We had Keefe's number, $10 million a year.
We had Keefe's number, that's true, but we hadn't heard anything official from either side, right?
Yes.
We heard Keefe's scoop. We heard Whitney's scoop. We heard other people's scoops. Nothing official. This was official. And he said, I have 64 million reasons why I'd want to play if I was him. 8 years, $8 million per is what that sounds like.
How do we know it's 8 years?
We don't. But if it's $64 million, I think that stands to reason,
well,
doesn't it?
Because wasn't the Whitney report six and change a year?
Yes.
So wouldn't 64 be divided by 10 be six and change a year?
Yeah, but that would be a 10-year commitment. I don't know. I feel like if that was the case, we'd have heard that. But maybe not. It sounds like 8-8. That hasn't been confirmed yet either. We don't know for sure.
So it's 8-8.
It could be.
If it's 8-8, then Swayman is pricing himself beyond where he's
also. Scoops Keefe said that the Bruins refused to go over 8.
Right.
So if they refuse to go over 8, 8-8, 6-4,
and they can't go over 8,
and they really can't. That's another part of this too. If that's the case, whether fair or not.
So I'm being told 8 is the max in the NHL.
I don't know about that.
That's what I'm being told.
In the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was asking for 10, and there's a max in the NHL.
No, years.
Oh, 8 years. All right, yes, right.
Max.
Okay, I was like, I don't think $8 million is the max in the year.
Because I was looking for...
For years. Okay, that makes sense.
So you can't... Didn't DiPietro get like a 25-year contract?
He got something. Maybe that's the reason why it's 8 now,
ago.
Yeah. It could be
that was DiPietro, a bad deal.
The DiPietro clause. At any rate, I think, fair or not, and I still am on Swayman's side here, fair or not, this is going to push the tide over towards the Bruins. People are going to start saying Swayman's being unreasonable.
I think he's being unreasonable. I think everybody said, $8 million a year will get it done. 8-8 will get it done. Well, 8-8 apparently won't get it done because they've offered him 8-8 and he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to play. They've already said he is now not going to be ready to start the season, that you are not going to have him as your opening day goalie. So he's already pushed it into holdout type realm. I just don't care for it. I don't know who he thinks he is. I really don't. Like, he's this guy who's fighting for the great future goalies and has to move the bar and all these stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Who the bleep do you think you are? You've never been a full season franchise number one goalie. You've never done it. And you want to be paid like the best ever.
Best ever?
Kinda.
Mm.
He wants $10 million a year. That's the highest contracts. $10 million a year.
Right. But
so that's the highest paid ever.
Yeah, but that's sort of semantics, isn't it?
No.
I mean, if he was coming out there saying, I want $10 million because I'm the best in the league, no one would agree with that. But he's talking about a rising salary cap and, you know, that type of thing and how he's adjusting for inflation and all that, I think, is perfectly reasonable.
Adjusting
if that's what
for
you're
inflation.
Doing. Absolutely.
Get the hell out of
inflation
here.
Inflation includes when the cap goes up.
For inflation.
With the cap going up
no,
is inflation.
Take your
that's
damn
what I'm
salary,
talking about.
Put on a helmet and some pads and stop pucks. I don't know who you think you are. This guy's got a highfalutin view of himself.
Yeah, well,
a really highfalutin view.
The Bruins have
put a very respectable offer on the table.
Okay, well, if it's not good enough for them, they should have thought of that before they let go of Linus
Ullmark
and gotten rid of all their leverage.
They
put all the eggs in this basket, and now they're not willing to go where he wants them to.
Eight
and listen,
$8 million
probably
enough.
Seems reasonable to you, seems
yeah,
reasonable
play
to me.
Half a season, I'm going to rotate with that guy, but I should be the highest paid ever.
But when Jeremy Swayman's the only goalie on your roster left, and now Jonas Korpisalo has been named the opening night starter. Like,
exactly.
This is happening.
Exactly.
This is what's going to happen this year, and
that
sucks.
And he's been good, because goalie Bob knows what he's doing.
Yeah, okay, we'll see how good Korpisalo is. And listen,
screw
I hope
you,
he is
Swayman.
Good.
Pound sand, pound
I'd
ice.
I'd like to have a season. But you know what? The Bruins misplayed this, and they shouldn't have dinked around with him in the first place. Going to arbitration with him when they didn't need to. I don't think they've ever really shown this guy much respect. And if their initial...
They traded the other goalie.
So
can
what?
Can you have any more respect?
Who gives
they
a rat's ass?
The
he's
job.
About to be become the
They gave him the job.
Agent.
They tried to trade him last year and give him the job. That's respect. That's love. That's, like, faith.
And then they offered him 8 years, $6 million. How much love is that?
No. Then they offered him 8x8, $64 million.
That's what they're saying.
Dollars.
I haven't heard anything from Swayman.
You calling Cam Neely a liar?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Are you calling him a liar?
I don't know.
I don't think he's lying.
I think he's probably telling the truth
okay,
here, but I don't
you.
Know when that offer came in. Maybe it came in this morning. I have no idea. And maybe he's been saying $6 million up until then. I don't know. I haven't heard Swayman say anything. And I also think that when you start throwing stuff out there like that, you're doing it to turn public attention against your player, which I'm not sure I feel great about either. Swayman's not doing that. He did early on that podcast. He had
he
things to
Shut
say
Up
about
Mike's
all of it.
On podcast or whatever.
On Shut Up Mark's podcast.
And he's like,
yeah.
Oh, I know everything about everything because I took a business class at Maine, so I know that the cap and it can be adjusted. For inflation.
Inflation, and, right. And if he went out on the open market right now.
1978, and now it costs five times that, so I should be a $10 million goalie.
That's not what I was saying, but if he went out on the open market, he'd be making around that. That's what he'd be saying. That's
well, you're
what
not.
He wants.
You are the property of the Boston Bruins, correct?
Yep.
So if my aunt had you-know-what, she'd be my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the old saying. Like, do business as business is being done. Do you want to play
he
hockey?
He is doing business as business
and
being done.
So,
because he'll be a free agent next year.
Okay, well, he can go be a... What the hell? What the hell is going on over there?
I don't know.
You set an alarm for the
oh,
end
no,
of your
sorry.
Show?
It was wrap-up music, but I there's some bells in the background, so.
Oh, we're
oh
all
this
like,
is the wrap-it-up music.
Everybody's checking their phones, like,
yeah,
who left
like,
their ringer
on here? And when did I start listening to church music?
Good Lord.
Well, there you go. All right, that's all the time we have for today. I want to say thanks to Jacoby Brissett. Thanks to Jonathan Jones for joining us.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.